I'd like to refer to a verse in Scripture that I referred to the other night, found in Luke. Luke 15, and in verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Here's a fellow that wasted his substance on himself. He spent all of his money on himself. He spent all of his efforts on himself. He lived it up. He spent everything he had in this world on himself. And God says he wasted it. And I just like to pass this on to you that I think it's an absolute waste for us to spend what we have on ourselves. We might enjoy this life and all of that, but when we get to eternity and meet our Lord, will we have wasted everything? It's a real challenge to us. We can waste our time and our efforts and our money and the talents that God has given us. Now, there's a real challenge in the world today for those who would like to not waste their substance on themselves, but to spend it for God. Now, I've been asked to say something about New Orleans, and I hope you'll appreciate with me that it's hard to get up and say things about one's own work. But I do feel that I have an obligation to this assembly to come and give you a little report, because this is my home assembly. My wife and I went out into the work some 23 years ago, and this is our home assembly. We were brought up in this assembly. We spent nearly the first 18 years of our Christian experience in this assembly in Longfellow. I want to tell you this, it's a real joy to be home. We've come up here to spend a little time to let my wife relax a little bit and see our relatives and see our friends, and it's really been a wonderful experience for us to see you all. I'm going to tell you publicly, we're glad to be here. We're enjoying it very much. Now, just for the sake of some who don't know much about our background and about the background of the work in New Orleans, and I think it is important to say something about it, went to New Orleans 23 years ago and lived in a trailer. Having left our position with Swift & Company, and we opened a service men's center where through many years, and followed that with a young men's home where we entertained and slept and fed and preached to some 200,000 men. This has been a very fruitful work, and we thank God for this. But New Orleans is a very, very difficult field. And I want to tell you just how difficult it is. I believe it's probably one of the most difficult fields in the United States, and that's why we chose it for the Literature Crusade. We said if they could do anything there, maybe we could do something someplace else. It's this difficult. When we first went there, we rented a building and went around and advertised for children's meetings, gave out about 5,000 handbills, went to all the schools and stood outside the schools and told all of the children I was going to give them a little prize if they'd come to the meetings. We really advertised. We went house to house for several weeks advertising up this meeting, and I was sure we were going to have a wonderful opening. One little fellow came, and his mother come and got him. And a religious leader walked up and down the street to see that nobody else came in. Now, that's how tough New Orleans is. George Hooker had it about sized up when we tried a little tent meeting effort in Lafayette. That's right next to New Orleans, the seat of the bishop there. We had 3 weeks of tent meeting, and not a single person came in. Night after night, preaching away to an empty tent. Nobody came in. And Hook just said, even the dogs are contaminated with the religion here. He said, this old dog comes in the tent every day, sleeps all day, and accepts my food, and as soon as the meeting starts, he gets up and walks out. That's the kind of a field New Orleans is. It's the Quebec of the United States. And we have, of course, had our lives threatened. We've had been even had our home shot at, and we've had our children both in, attempted. They have attempted to kill each one of our children. We know what a little persecution is, and we know what opposition is. We've had some opposition, but all through this, God has led us to stay. And to keep on trying, and to keep on with the message. You know, I think I didn't know very much about the scripture. I didn't have a great background and all of that. I'm thankful for a fellow like Amos in the Word of God. You know, all he was a farmer. He didn't know much of anything, and they accused him of not having gone to theological school, you know. Why, Amos, you don't know anything, the priest said. What has your training been? Have you been a son of the prophets? Have you been through school, in other words? Have you had all this? No, Amos said, I haven't all this. I only got one message. Prepare to meet thy God. It's not hard to give. It's not hard to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Any Christian ought to be able to do it and should do it. But we've stayed there in New Orleans and worked now for some 23 years, and God has blessed the effort. And we think we're beginning to see a little result now. I'll tell you a little bit about that afterwards. But Kevin Dyer came to our place about 2 years ago and told us about the wonderful campaign they had in India. And I was real impressed with it. You know, God did do a work over there and through this literature crusade. And it was surprising how they did touch people over in Calcutta. And we thought, well, if they could do it over in India, why can't we do it in New Orleans? So I said to Kevin, I said, why don't we try this in New Orleans? Oh, he said, I don't know. We never tried it in the United States. I don't know whether we could or not. Well, we said, let's pray about it. So we prayed about it for 3 months. And then he was going to write me his decision. I was going to write him mine. And we got the assembly there praying. And he prayed with his group. We prayed for 3 months and decided it was the Lord's will for us to do it. You know, it's a big undertaking. So we did it this spring. In June, the last part of June, the 1st of July, we had this crusade. Now, we did this very carefully. You know, the Lord tells us to be harmless as doves, as wise as serpents. So we didn't tell anybody in New Orleans that we were having this crusade until we actually had it. We didn't want anybody to work up opposition and get a head start on it. We thought we'd come in and have the head start. So we didn't tell anybody they're going to get any literature until one day they got it in the mail. And we didn't mail the literature out until 4 days before we went to call on them at their house, so they wouldn't have time to run to their religious leaders and ask them whether to let us in or not. Well, anyway, just to give you an idea of the far reaching effort that this was. The stamps alone, just to send out these letters to New Orleans, cost $12,500. Now that's just the little stamp on the corner of the envelope. In addition to that, you have the envelope. In addition to that, you had the tract that was inside it, a tract specially written for New Orleans. We had literature inside, and we had a letter inside for people. A little badge inside, a copy of a little badge that all the literature crusaders would wear so that when they came to the door, they would know who they were and they wouldn't throw them out. And it said on this badge, those people that we were going to call on, we sent a special letter. We said, if you have this little coupon that we're sending you in this mail, when our representative calls at the door, he'll give you a Gospel of John, a new revised edition, a modern translation with the pictures, a very beautiful translation. One in the Catholic Douay version, or not the Douay version, but the Catholic New Version. I forget what it was. It's confraternity edition. What?
It's all in our readers.
All right. Thank you. And one in the Protestant. They could have their choice. And all they had to do was to present this little coupon at the door when we call at the door, and they'd get this. Well, over 1,400 people were involved in getting these envelopes ready and addressed and mailed out, sorted out, and mailed in a New Orleans post office. We had two great big truckloads come from Chicago with the literature, and I mean big truckloads carrying 18,000 pounds apiece of literature. It's a gigantic thing. We have a great big warehouse, and we thought when we built this thing it was too big, and you know we filled that thing with just literature. And of course we had to provide an office for these folks. Now 135 people came from all around the country to help in this crusade, to spend 2 weeks with us, and 10 of these people stayed on for several weeks further to help us with some follow-up. Besides, 10 people of our own assembly who took off from work and took off those 2 weeks to spend full time in this literature crusade. 135 people converging in on our little place down there, and it was Gladys and my job to see if they got a place to stay and something to eat. We had charge of the food and the sleeping in particular. Well, now, of course, that's a very little job, as you folks know, that providing the food for the conference. We fed three meals a day, breakfast, dinner, and supper, and a snack at night sometimes, to 160 people. Well, that's a pretty good little task. It took quite a few tons of food to feed this group, besides a lot of work in getting it together and so forth. Brother Van Ryn came up and did the cooking. I tell you, he's a good cook, too, and nobody got sick on the food. Oh, I was going to tell you how wonderfully God worked. Absolutely, this whole thing was a real miracle, the way it came about. People prayed for us all over the country, and I'm sure that many people here prayed for us. We're really thankful for it, because we have really been burdened about this city of New Orleans. It's a real burden to my heart, and I can't tell you how I appreciate the saints coming in and giving us a lift to break down this terribly, terribly, openly wicked city, most wicked city in the United States. You can see things there you'll never see anyplace else in the United States, I can tell you that. If you don't believe it, come down, I'll take you on. Anyway, we had all of these people praying, and God did do some miracles. For example, we wanted to sleep all these people. Well, now, you can't just have people come to a place like this and say, well, now, I'm sorry, but we haven't got any place for you to sleep. We're not built that way, and we don't feel that the Lord wanted us to do that. And yet, we couldn't find any place for these people to sleep. This wasn't a place for them to sleep. You know, we don't have many Christian homes that can take in people. Most of our people there are poor. And they have little homes, and they don't have any spare bedrooms, and it's pretty difficult. We just don't have any place to put people. So we were really praying. Well, there was an apartment house, a group of apartment houses started up or being built just near our place, right, just a block or so away from our place. And we thought, wouldn't it be nice if we could get those apartments? So we went down to see the people, and they said, indeed not, we wouldn't rent them to you for 2 weeks. Well, how about a month? We wouldn't rent them for a month. We're not going to have somebody come in and ruin our apartments in a brand new place and then expect to rent them out after that. And they wouldn't rent them to us. Well, just to show you now how God can work. One of our sisters, who'd been in the assembly there and had been saved there maybe it was better than a year ago, but she had moved to Florida, and she came back. And they'd moved in to this apartment place. And they had a bunch of apartments there. And she got herself, when she got in there, she's a very likable woman and so forth. She got herself appointed a custodian of the apartments. Now, this all happened just the day before the Crusader started arrived. So she came to me and she said, "Well, I got it fixed up. I'm in charge of the apartments. How many do you want?" So they had four of them ready. So we got four apartments right there, four complete apartments. We put a bunch of men in one and a bunch of women in another, and we put some couples in the others, and we went down and rented some beds. It was really wonderful. And then we were still four apartments short, and another place that we had gone to get some apartments, we couldn't get them. This fellow was of another religious persuasion and didn't like the idea of us having them in the first place. But it just so happened that a brother in the meeting who's in the heating and plumbing business, or heating and air conditioning business, had installed in these apartments the whole business, and they owed this man for the job. And they were a little bit obligated because they couldn't pay the bill right now because they hadn't got their money, and he could collect right now. So he said, "Now, look, I'll tell you what. We need four apartments to house some of these crusaders that are coming down here. How about giving us four apartments?" So we got four apartments, all these brand new apartments, all air conditioned and everything. These people thought they were lucky. We couldn't have given them such nice quarters in any motel in the city. And they were just right there handy at the place, and the rest we put all up at our place. We had them in the chapel, and the old chapel, the new chapel, and we had our four missionary houses full. Our children, they went camping for the 2 weeks. We built a little place for them where they could camp, and they just camped out for 2 weeks, and we used all the whole children's home to house people. So we put up the whole 135 people right there. Don't you think that's of the Lord? Nobody but the Lord could do things like that. And, of course, it just shows again the great God that we have. I want to tell you a little. Somebody asked about the results. Well, I'm really sad to say that we did not, apparently, see a moving of the Spirit that we'd hoped to see. I've really been calling upon God to see a movement of the Spirit in New Orleans. Now, we may see it. I feel we're going to see it sometime. But we did not see a movement of the Spirit. But the Spirit of the Crusaders was wonderful. Everybody came and worked hard. I'll tell you, you see these folks come out of their air-conditioned offices, you know, down there where they change shirts several times a day, and they really were perspiring. The water was just running off of them, you know, and we had the coolest days that we've had in that time of the year in our history. So actually, the Lord was good to us besides. But even so, for these folks from the north here, it was pretty hard for them. And they went out and every day called on these homes. And they called on 75,000 homes. Now, as a result of sending out this literature, we had over 2,600 requests for literature. We had a whole office staff of about six girls that worked on this all the time. And, of course, my daughter now handles it and the follow-up. Incidentally, she does this along with helping with the children's home and all the other things she does. She's quite a worker, I'll have to say that, even if she is my daughter. We're thankful to God for her. But anyway, we have some 250 people taking correspondent Bible courses through this literature crusade. And I think that that is really something. Now, all of these 2,600 people are candidates for follow-up work. Got a lot of follow-up work to do. And these 250 are more especially follow-up work. But then, as these folks were going around, they found one here and there that was interested and really wanted to hear the Word of God. So we're seeking to follow those people up. I ought to tell you about the Rich family. This is a family that was just sitting reading their Bible. They had gotten a hold of a Bible about 2 years prior to this and had been reading it. And they had already stopped going to this religious place that they were going to. And they were just reading their Bible at home and praying that God would send somebody to show them how to get saved. They didn't put it in that words. They just were praying that God would show them the way to heaven. They wanted to really know that they'd be in heaven. The man is a manager of one of the departments at one of our great big super stores there. And we just were happy to hear that there's a literature crusade knocked on that door. These folks were inside just wanting to hear. The whole family was there, and they just wanted to hear more about the Word of God. And after about three visits, they were saved. And I think it's a genuine case. They've been coming to the meeting, and it looks like we're going to be able to baptize this whole family. And then we've been able to baptize the Taravella family. Brother McGee, you remember the Taravella family. We've worked on this family for nearly 10 years. They've been really deeply religious in their religion, and they're very, very difficult to reach. But they've been exercised for a long time. Well, now, probably the crowning point of this was seeing these crusaders and seeing the folks come there that really love the Lord. And I think it's had a real bearing on this family, and they have all come into the assembly. Or that is, the father and mother have been baptized. We feel that the girl may be saved, really saved. They have three children, and they've all been coming into the meeting, or coming to the meeting. And Mr. and Miss Taravella have taken their place, and they haven't missed a meeting since they've been there. Not any meeting, whether it's a Bible study or an extra meeting or anything. They don't miss anything. They're really faithful. And we're very thankful for this. Another result of the crusade, I believe, is the folks that came to help. You know, this had a real impact on these people, and I've heard from, I've gotten more than 100 letters at least from these people telling what it's meant to them in their own spiritual lives to come and really make an effort like this. Now, this is a tremendous effort. Imagine reaching 1 million people with the gospel, and that's what it amounts to. I think it's a tremendous effort. It's hard to tell you the scope of this, and it's hard to tell you how God can use this in many years to come. We'll never know, I suppose, the true results of this. And incidentally, we didn't tie our assembly in with the crusade for various reasons. We're tying that into all the follow-up work. Nevertheless, while this was going on, we gave out nearly 50,000 handbills inviting people to see Moody Films in all different parts of the city. We had some folks from Houston come and take charge of this. And we just had meetings all over the city with showing the Moody Films. And in connection with that, a half-hour gospel meeting. And sometimes it lasted longer. A real time of really getting to these people. And we found a number of interested people through this. At the same time, we were having special meetings at the chapel, special gospel meetings for the full 2 weeks. I'd just like to say this. I'd like you to pray for the Deep South. We have some 12 million people there that I have a tremendous burden for. And we've been the only full-time worker there for all these years. Amongst 12 million people. How about praying for us? That God will stir up some help for us and that these people might be reached. Now, we do feel that we have a real opportunity. We've got something started now that's sort of the groundwork, you might say, and we think we have the greatest opportunity of any place in the United States. We have 25 acres of ground on this center that's dedicated to reaching the South with the gospel. We have over $200,000 worth of buildings. And by the way, we have a brand new chapel. It's a very beautiful chapel, simple in design, and nothing gaudy or anything like that, but it's a very nice chapel in keeping with the subdivision in which we live. which is the finest subdivision in the parish in which we live, in Louisiana. In addition to this, we have a children's home. We also have 4 missionary apartments that we maintain to entertain missionaries that go to and from through the city of New Orleans, and also workers. And we'd have accommodations for somebody that wanted to come and work, or for families. They're lovely missionary apartments. Some of them are 2-bedroom apartments, bath, living room, kitchen, and everything. Even a washroom. Then, in addition to this, we have retirement homes. If you're thinking about retiring, you can retire in New Orleans. If you're really sold on the way God's people meet together, 2 or 3 gathered together in His name, if you're really sold on this and have been a help in your assembly, and you want to keep right on working for the Lord, you don't want to ever feel you're getting old, just come and get one of our retirement homes and give us help there in the work in New Orleans. We really appreciate the help. We have even a swimming pool on our grounds. We have a nice fishing lake, a 5-acre lake for fishing. Got about everything you want, even a lot of mosquitoes. Plenty of hot weather. Now, actually, it's no use me telling you how wonderful the climate is. If you're going to come to serve the Lord, don't be looking for something nice. You know, when we went to New Orleans, we couldn't stand the people. We couldn't stand the heat. We couldn't stand the water. We couldn't stand the rain. We couldn't stand anything about it. And smell, if you ever lived in New Orleans 20 years ago, it's better now. But I'm telling you, it stinks so bad. And we went to buy meat at the market, and you'd hold your nose like this while you tried to pick out something. And I'm not kidding you one bit. They're even exaggerating a hair. Well, anyway, we said this to the Lord. We got down on our knees. Now we said, "Now, Lord, if you want us to work amongst this people, you better make us like them. If you want us to work in this city, you better make us like it. You better make us like the climate." And we just asked the Lord to really make us like it. Well, it took a while, but the Lord made us like it. And now we have about 75 in fellowship and our assembly of some 200 people, I would say, that come to our chapel. It's a nice little nucleus. The opportunity for 2 other assemblies to start in the area if we only had some oversight. Pray for it. Thank you very much.